Happy Mother's Day. I guess you don't say Happy Mother's Day back to me, but good morning. Good morning at the warehouse, too. Mother's Day is a little bit awkward for me, not necessarily because I'm not a mother, but there are different holidays that different people handle well. You know, you might be a good at Christmas and good at Halloween, but bad at Thanksgiving, or maybe you don't even think of it that way. But Mother's Day was a little difficult for us. Carrie and I got married, and after about 3 years, decided to try to start a family, and we couldn't. And we tried, and we were unable to have children, and that made it difficult. And that made Mother's Day particularly kind of difficult. It was hard on Carrie. You know, it felt like a day that celebrated everybody but her. And I became aware of it. And 1 year, for instance, actually scored points, did well, because I got her a Mother's Day card and signed the names of all of our fish and gave it to her. And, you know, she really appreciated it. We couldn't really share it with anybody. Nobody would really get it. But she thought it was really nice. And actually, that was a Mother's Day. And that November, Chad was born, our son who we adopted. It all happened really fast. So he was born in November. So the following Mother's Day, May, Chad's 6 months old, and me, with my impeccable sense of comedic timing, thought this would be a great time for a gag Mother's Day card, because I'm sure all those issues with Mother's Day are now past, that there couldn't be anything else. So I, you know, do my plan, and I think it's going to be really funny. And Mother's Day comes, and I bring Chad in to Carrie. He's 6 months old, and give her the card, and she opens the card, which is written entirely in Spanish, a language that she can't read. And I'm sitting back waiting for the laughter, and she looked at me and started crying. That's the O part. So I'm not good at Mother's Day, okay? And I struggle with it was a little dicey for me. Now, I just want to say, for 17 consecutive years now, I've presented her with Mother's Day cards written in English. So that's good. But I realize I need help to speak about Mother's Day. So I asked for help, and I am today going to be joined by a practicing mother who has two teenage boys, which is a challenge in itself. She helps arrange the women's retreat at New Life every year. She has put up with me for 24 years and actually has to explain to me the difference between that neither a screwdriver nor a hammer is called a wrench, because she knows stuff and I don't. So please welcome my wife, Carrie.
Hello.
So, Carrie, why don't you just start and share a little bit about your experience with Mother's Day.
By the way, I'm the quiet one. As Brad said, Mother's Day is just a weird day for me now, and a lot of times people don't understand because they say, well, you have two sons, and you know, you have children, but actually physically giving birth is a rite of passage to be a woman, so it's just, Mother's Day just all around is very difficult, and I probably, if I were to talk to every single one of you women out there, you would all have a different story on how you feel about this day. So Mother's Day can bring all kinds of emotions. Your kids may have brought you breakfast in bed today, whether it's cereal or burnt toast. It was probably very much appreciated. You may desire to have children, but can't. Your mother is loving, and it's a pleasure to show appreciation to her. And maybe you've chosen not to have children and will probably be misunderstood the rest of your life. It could be that you're being taken out to your favorite dinner place tonight, or you're a single mother and you never thought you'd ever be in this position. I have a friend from high school, and she was having marriage problems and was wondering whether she was going to be divorcing her husband, and she told me that on Mother's Day, her husband and children never once acknowledged her at all. And so finally she said, how come you're not acknowledging me on Mother's Day? This is a really special day. And he said, well, get to mothering. And that was it. So Mother's Day is just a kind of an odd day for some. It's a happy day. And I'm glad that we're celebrating it today.
So guys, that's first tip. Don't ever say that. Okay. So today, what we want to share is regardless of where you are, Whether you're a mom, whether you're not, whether you're even a woman, if this the stuff we're going to share today applies to everybody, but particularly to women and to moms. We want to share four scriptural truths, four things to encourage you that can help you survive and thrive going through the time of raising kids. And this is, you know, if you just have influence on kids, if you're around kids and help out with kids or have grandchildren or whatever, I think the stuff we're going to talk about today can help you. So Carrie's going to start with the very first point.
Well, it's on this very important day, it's important to realize that you're loved by God. And that's your first blank that you'll be filling out, and that goes for you at the warehouse too. So it's the blank is realize that you are loved by God. And so the scripture for this is in Romans 8, 38 through 39. It's up there on the screen. You can read along with me. It says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation that covers it all, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's a statement, a truth given to us by God. And it is so important to realize that you're loved by God. So when I found out that I was going to be raising two sons, I had two goals as a mother of two sons. One was that I wanted my sons to become independent men. And I also got good advice at a conference one time, and my other goal is to love and accept my future and daughter-in-law as if she was my own daughter. And that's more of a state of mind, I think, sometimes. So if I based my value on only being a mother, then I would be very disappointed and frustrated today. The boys have birth mothers who they love very much, and so do I. So there's a picture that's next. This is Chad, and this is my oldest son. This is his birth mother, Denise. She lives in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we were able to go visit her there. She actually used to live in San Jose, and that's where Chad was born. And then the next picture, this is Derek, my youngest, and his birth mother, Christine. She lives in the Oakland, Richmond area, and we're very fortunate to have relationships with them, and a lot of people, I don't even really tell a lot of people that they don't understand that relationship, and they think I would be threatened, and it would just be uncomfortable. But think how I would feel if I based my value on that the most important thing was that my sons love only me, that I'm mom, and that any other birth mom or mom out there would be a threat to me. I would be crushed, and I would be disappointed, and then I would also act like a baby and probably emotionally manipulate them. That doesn't sound like a very fun person, does it? So also, my boys are 16 and 18, and really, they're quite mean. And I knew this would happen. I've read a lot of books on what it's like, how teenage boys treat their mothers. It hurts, and the first time it happened sooner than I expected. But I know how important it is that they go through this, and even though I do pout sometimes, and it really does hurt sometimes, it's an important part of them letting go. It's almost like they have to kill me in order to be independent men. So if I base my value on how I was treated, which is not very nice these days, then again, I would be very crushed and disappointed. So the most important thing in my life as a mother, as a woman, is that without a doubt, that I am a child of God, and that is a heritage that will never fail me. And everything else in my life has the potential to fail me. Not that it will, but it has the potential, but that God never will. So let's read that verse again. It's in Romans 8. Should be on the, there it is. So I'm going to be reading it, and I'd like you to close your eyes and think about what the promise is in this scripture, and then ask yourself, do I really, really believe this, that nothing will separate me from the love of God? Nothing in any part of my life. God will never, never fail me. go ahead and close your eyes and think about the words. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So do you believe this in your heart? Do you really, really believe this? And think about that even though life can hurt us, knowing this truth gives much more peace in the midst of pain.
So God loves you. That comes from somebody who lives in a house where everybody else leaves the toilet seat up. The second point we want to share is remember, moms particularly, remember to show and receive appreciation. Having kids is tough on a woman's ego sometimes because women accept, kind of take on the difficulties of their kids more than guys. If a kid is struggling academically or socially, it's usually harder, not always, but usually harder on moms than on dads. And if you don't believe this, sometime go to a Little League game, and a kid makes an error, and the mom, if both parents are there, if there's two parents and both parents are there, the mom is most likely feeling bad, maybe, is it, you know, particularly if the kid's really upset about it. The mom is upset and feeling bad for the kid, while the dad is either screaming out instructions or pretending he's not related. Okay, so women, it's a lot more difficult sometimes on the ego for women. And you know, in addition to the fact that as you, if you have children, as you get older, you go from being this girl, this, you know, young girl, to suddenly you're somebody's mom. Oh, there's Joey's mom. And you're used to being the guy, oh, there's so-and-so, you know, let me whistle at her. And instead, now you're somebody's mom. And that can be difficult also. And a lot of times what happens is women, and guys, hear this, women feel taken for granted and underappreciated. And we may even appreciate them, but we don't say anything. And let's look at what the scripture says in Proverbs 12:25. Men, children, hear this passage. Anxious hearts are very heavy, but a word of encouragement does wonders. A word of encouragement, a compliment, a word of encouragement does wonders. Mark Twain, the great American author, said, I can live off a good compliment for an entire week. Now, here's a definition of a good compliment. A good compliment, it's kind of obvious what a compliment is, but a good compliment is specific, it's personal, and it is unconditional. So in other words, it's about the person, it's about them, it's specific, and it doesn't have any conditions put on it. For instance, let me give you some examples, okay? It's a good, it's a decent compliment to go, that was a good meal. That's better than most, than happens most times, right? Women, can I get amen on that? Okay. A better one is like, man, that was really good. I love the way that you cook chicken. Okay, that's a specific one. Now, a conditional, you know, this is what you don't want to do is go, that was a really good dinner. That chicken was really good. Too bad you burned the rice. Or that chicken was really good. It was almost as good as my mom makes. Okay, those are conditional. Just stop. You know, the same thing with clothes. You know, you can go, oh, you look good. Or you can say, you always look good in red. Or you always look good. That dress always looks good on you. And a conditional one is like, man, you look, that dress looks really good on you. It hides that extra weight you're carrying. Okay? That's not a good compliment. The good compliment is specific and stops at a certain point. I want to read a kind of a poem about moms on Mother's Day that seems particularly appropriate. It says, this is for all the mothers who froze their buns off on metal bleachers at soccer games Friday night instead of watching from cars, so that when their kids ask, did you see my goal? They could say, of course, I wouldn't have missed it for the world, and mean it. This is for all the mothers who have sat up all night with sick toddlers in their arms, wiping up barf laced with Oscar Mayer wieners and cherry Kool-Aid, saying, it's okay, honey, mommy's here. This is for the mothers who gave birth to babies they'll never see, and for the mothers who took in those babies and made them homes. This is for all the mothers who run carpools and make cookies and sew Halloween costumes, and for all the mothers who don't. This is for all the mothers who sat down with their children and explained all about making babies, and for all the mothers who wanted to but just couldn't. This is for reading Goodnight Moon twice a night for a year, and then reading it again just one more time. This is for all the mothers who mess up, who yell at their kids in the grocery store and swat them in despair and stomp their feet like tired two-year-olds who want ice cream before dinner. This is for all the mothers who taught their daughters to tie their shoelaces before they started school, and for all the mothers who opted for Velcro instead. This is for all the mothers who bite their lips, sometimes until they bleed, when their 14-year-old dye their hair green. This is for all the mothers who lock themselves in the bathroom when babies keep crying and won't stop. This is for all the mothers who show up at work with spit up in their hair and milk stains on their blouses and diapers in their purse. This is for all the mothers who teach their sons to cook and their daughters to sink a jump shot. This is for all the mothers who turn their heads automatically when a little voice calls mom in a crowd, even though they know their own offspring aren't around. This is for the mothers whose children have gone astray, who can't find the words to reach them. This is for all the mothers who sent their sons to school with stomach aches, assuring them they'd be just fine once they got there, only to get calls from the school nurse an hour later asking them to please pick them up right away. This is for the young mothers stumbling through diaper changes and sleep deprivation, and the mature mothers learning to let go. For working mothers and stay-at-home mothers, single mothers and married mothers, mothers with money, mothers without. This is for you all, so hang in there. The world would be a terrible place without the love of mothers everywhere. You make it a more civil, caring, and safe place for the precious children in our world. And what I'd like to do right now here at the Life Site and at the warehouse is have the moms, if you're a mom, if you've ever been a mom, stand up. Go ahead. Stand up. At the warehouse, stand up. Okay. The rest of us, you guys maybe don't get compliments all the time, but we want to thank you for what you do. So let's give them a hand. And take a bow and be seated. All right, so that's point two.
I never could do the vomit thing. I'd be vomiting along with the child. Bradley, I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and I will never, never let you forget you're a man, because I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. Thank you. Well, I grew up in the 70s. That tells you what my age is, huh? Now, Gloria Steinem was screaming for women's rights, and I remember seeing her on TV with those big glasses, and Helen Reddy was singing, I am woman, hear me roar. So it was a good time for women. But the message was, I have to say, if it wasn't for those women, I probably wouldn't be where in the career that I am today. I'm a career woman. I do enjoy my work very much. I'm an engineer in construction, and there aren't very many women at all in my field, and I get all kinds of interesting phone conversations letting me know that, you know, can I talk to the important person? The person who knows what they're doing? But the message from Gloria Steinem and the women's movement at that time during the 70s was that we are the same as men, we are equal to men, and that we can have it all. And great things have happened because of these women, but I am here to release the myth, or the supermom myth, and that is the blank, but you can fill it in there at the warehouse also. It's release the supermom myth, and that's exactly what it is. It's a myth. It's like mist. You're trying to grab mist. It's absolutely impossible. The supermom myth is that you're an awesome mom. You have a great career, you're physically fit, absolutely beautiful, you lead 2 Bible studies, and you head up the PTA. You're a soccer mom, you're great in bed. In essence, you're totally fulfilled in everything, but the problem is that she doesn't exist. We feel like that's what we're supposed to be, but that's all, what we really do feel is guilt. There's a famous quote that says, show me a woman who doesn't feel guilty, and I'll show you a man. I like that one, too.
I don't get that.
Actually, I got it from him. Now, here's just a for instance. When a man comes to work, and he's all excited, he's got his cigars, I'm going to have a baby. Not once are they asked, well, are you going to be coming back to work after you have the baby? Or they're never asked, well, who's going to take care of the baby? So that's a choice that us women have to make that is usually not a choice that men have to make except for certain situations, I'm sure. So what we have to do instead is we have to make sacrifices, and that usually causes guilt. The women who chose to go back to work have guilt that someone else is raising their children, and I'm sure they hear that a lot too. The women who cut their hours have guilt both ways. The women who stay at home with the children, they feel guilt because really they want to have some adult conversation sometime in their life. And it also always seems like the women that are working outside of the home, it seems like they kind of like have it all together and wearing these really nice fancy clothes, and here I am still in my pajamas at 12 o'clock. The women who choose or cannot have children are completely misunderstood and always questioned. The pregnant teenager must look at her future in a completely different light. So there's all different kinds of scenarios. But in all of these situations, the woman usually has to make some sort of choice, and it requires a sacrifice. In my situation, Brad and I were very lucky, and we had split shifts, so we were able to share childcare. I always said he had the morning shift, and I had the afternoon. I had no idea what to do with breakfasts. I'd just stand around, like, on Saturday, because he took care of everything in the morning. But I didn't decrease my work hours, so my career was sacrificed. I wasn't with my sons 24 hours a day, so I felt like my time with my children was sacrificed. Still had to cook dinners and share the cleaning of the house, so the house was sacrificed, but we always feel like the house is sacrificed, right? I was tired, so I had physical sacrifice, and then I really didn't get to spend much time with Brad, and so our marriage was sacrificed since we had our split shifts. So to release the supermom myth, don't believe the lies that you need to be perfect, but try to trust in the Lord that he will help you with all the choices that you have to make. The verse that we're going to be looking at is Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. It's up there on the screen. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." This is a very familiar verse to some. But my encouragement to you is that no matter what choices you have to make, not to feel guilt, because you're going to have to make choices, but just to trust in the Lord that you're doing the right thing. And he knows exactly every single detail, probably more than you do, of what your life is and the choices that you have to make and what you need to do in order to get along in life. So the promise to this verse is that he will make your path straight. And so trusting in the Lord with your choices, the promise is that he will make everything work out for you as long as you trust him.
There's a few other myths that we just want to share, you know, because a myth is something that we pursue. We think it's true, but it's not really true. You know, the supermom myth really isn't true, even though we pursue it. I want to share three parental ones. This is for guys and women dealing with kids. These are things that we sometimes feel like everybody else is doing or that good parents do, and you have blanks on your sheet. The first one is the myth of total parental involvement. You know, and this believes that, man, a good parent is involved in everything going on in their kid's life, is a cheerleader for everything that's going on, and that may be true at a certain young age, but as your kids get older, that's impossible to do. And we kind of feel like, man, I should be more involved. Other people are more involved. This isn't to say don't be involved at all, but it's a myth to think that we can be totally involved and there's no secrets either way with our kids. Let me read a note that's from a person who bought into this myth. It was written by a mom as her son was going off to college. Written to this university president, said, "Dear sir, my son has been accepted to your college and will soon be leaving me. I'm writing to ask that you give your personal attention to the selection of his roommate. Please make sure that his dorm roommate doesn't smoke, drink, use foul language, or chase girls. You see, this is the first time he'll be away from home, except for 3 years in the Navy." So the idea of total parental involvement, I know everything that's going on with my kids. If you don't feel like, boy, I'm falling way short. The second myth is the myth of total parental enjoyment. Okay, this myth believes, man, I have to love being around my kids all the time. What's wrong with me? Because I'm irritated and not enjoying my kids. Everybody else seems to enjoy their kids all the time, and I feel like sometimes I wish I knew where I could go to resign. Okay? That's a myth that you enjoy your kid. Now, enjoy, you know, that we heard that from the moms. Enjoy your kids. Enjoy them. But don't feel guilty if there's times when you go, man, I'm not enjoying my kids right now. Don't feel like a failure if you are not enjoying your children 24/7. There, you can enjoy them when they sleep. But no parent enjoys their kids all the time, just like no kids enjoy their parents all the time. All right? The third one is the myth of total parental responsibility. Okay, and this myth buys into the idea of whatever happens with my kids, it's my fault, our fault. If our kids, and these are parents who say, what did we do wrong? My kid is now doing this thing. What did I do wrong? What did we went wrong somewhere in raising them. We didn't teach them something. We didn't do something. Now, sometimes that's true, but we need to recognize that sometimes as kids age, they do their own thing because they want to do their own thing. And if we buy into the idea that it's the parent's responsibility, you're a bad parent if your kids go off, that means that we're then buying into the idea that God's a bad parent because God created Adam and Eve. He was their parent, and they went off, and we wander off. So there's not necessarily, this doesn't relieve us of responsibility as parents, but I want you to take a break from the myth of feeling like everything my kid does wrong is because I made a mistake, I fouled up somehow as a parent. We're not responsible for everything. So I just want, we just kind of wanted to touch on those, you know, release that supermom myth. But also just those other myths, the fact that I know I got to be involved in every aspect of my kid's life or I'm not a good parent. I got to enjoy my kids all the time or I'm not a good parent. My kids have to turn out perfectly or I did something wrong. Those are all myths of parenting. So we've talked about realize you're loved by God, receive and give kind of encouragement, release the supermom myth. And then the fourth thing, the last thing we want to talk about is to refocus on the ultimate reward of motherhood. If you're a mom, refocus on the ultimate reward of motherhood, because there's all kinds of stuff that comes in that competes for what we're doing. The ultimate reward, here it is, the ultimate reward is you're making a difference in the life of somebody for eternity. That's the ultimate reward. It's not necessarily the big things. It's not teaching your kid Latin or helping him to become an Olympic athlete or traveling the world, because most of us can't do that and don't do that. It's loving someone and sacrificing when they don't care that you're sacrificing. It's praying for them. Maybe it's bringing them to church. Maybe it's admitting when you're wrong and hanging in there. And this stuff does not end when your child turns 18, right? Older parents, you recognize you keep being a parent all of your, as long as your child is alive, you're still the parent. Psalm 127:3 says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. And I love in 1 Timothy 5:9, and we don't have it on here, but 1 Timothy 5:9, there's a passage that equates the raising of children with a bunch of other good works, with sharing the gospel, helping the poor. It's listed as one of the good works that we can do is helping other people, or is raising children. And it's a key thing. So focus on the ultimate reward of motherhood. And there's an old saying, when God wants to do something great, he sends a child. But when God wants to send a child, he has to send a mother first. So you look back in history when God sent Moses to rescue the Israelites, he sent a young woman named Jochebed, who we read about in the Bible, who was an Israelite who gave birth to him. And then he sent Pharaoh's daughters to raise Moses. When God sent Abraham Lincoln, he sent a woman named Nancy Hanks, who was an illiterate seamstress, who died in her 30s, more than 40 years before Lincoln became president. And when he was president, he said, everything good that's happened in my life has happened because of the influence of my mom. When God sent Martin Luther King Jr., he first sent Alberta Williams, a teacher, who, when her kids were born, taught them and imbued them with those things that Dr. King then used to help change our country. When God sent Mother Teresa, there was an Albanian woman, her mother named Nicole, who raised Mother Teresa and her siblings from the time Mother Teresa was 8 and her father died in Albania, in a back area that years later the world was changed because of that. When God sent Jesus, he sent a young girl in the backwater side of a Roman Empire to give birth to the Son of God who became the Savior. Now, your kid may not be, probably isn't, Abraham Lincoln or Martin Luther King or Mother Teresa, but God, I want to remind you, God chose you to be in the lives of the people around you. God chose you to be the mother, if you're a mom, to be the mother of your kids. And his plan for them involves you. We spend a lot of time beating ourselves up, feeling like, because we're aware of our mistakes. And I want to remind you, there are no perfect moms, right? We're pretty aware of that of our parents, right? They were far from perfect. The last few weeks we've talked about the fact there's no perfect people. There's no perfect parents. God loves us regardless. And I was reading this week in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 about the fact that difficult times, hard times, and believe me, the older I get, the older my kids get, the more I realize parenting is difficult work. Difficult times, one of the great values of them is they remind us to trust God. There are times, if you're a parent, no matter how old your kid is, whether they're a baby and you're exhausted, whether they're an adult and maybe they're wandering, they've left the faith, and you're struggling over that, there's going to be times when you just feel like, I can't do this. And sometimes that's a good thing because that forces us to trust God. And this morning, I just want to close and pray. And I want to encourage you to trust God with your children or the children in your life. I'm just going to pray a prayer of us releasing them. You know, we still have responsibilities. We talked about parenthood a couple weeks ago, Pastor John shared. But I just want to encourage you, God loves your kids more than you do. And to remind you to do that, and if you're beating yourself up or struggling with it, to let that go. And rest, like Carrie shared, in the love that God has for you. So let's pray. God, thank you that you love us. Thanks that we don't have to do anything to deserve to earn your love, that you love us regardless. And we recognize that we sometimes are flawed. We sometimes chase after those myths that are unachievable, and then we feel like there's something wrong with us because we can't achieve it. And right now, we just want to rest in you. We want to rest in your love, accept the fact that you love us and that we don't have to earn it. And we also just want to release the children in our lives to you. You expect us to be good parents, but you don't expect us to be perfect parents. And for some of us, our kids are really in a difficult spot right now. And today may be a heartbreaking day for some of us as we think of kids who are Some of us maybe have had kids who have died or have kids who are just out wandering and are far from you, and we don't know how to reach them, and we just want to release them to you and ask you to speak to them and recognize that you love them more than we do. Thank you that you have put us where we are, when we are, and put us in the lives of the people that are around us. Help us just to live that out, but to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to watch a video now. It's a young mom song, but I think the premises of it and the things that she's praying for apply regardless of the age that you are.